Good evening, everybody, on this Thursday, March 16th, 2006. I am Eric Filipkowski. This is the Hollywood Phony podcast on ChadRobuckle.com. Coming up on the one-week anniversary of the launch of my podcast site, so that's pretty exciting, I gotta say. Not really, but whatever. I'm going to be in Vegas this weekend for Bordeaux's birthday. And probably going to be gone. I'm going to be gone. Probably won't be able to podcast, so I'm actually going to miss the one-week anniversary. So I thought I would just say something now. Should be back on Sunday. Maybe I'll do one on Sunday if I'm feeling motivated. Anyways, going to do something new today. I'm going to be reading... Well, Chad is going to be reading a story that I wrote. Or he wrote. I don't know. It gets a little confusing. Anyways, but it's the first time because this is something that I just put up today. So it's sort of the simultaneous launching on the podcast, the same as the website, whatever. Anyways, this is entitled Terry Bradshaw and Me by Chad Robuckle. Hope you enjoy. Hold on, Chad's going to switch places with me here. Okay. Here you go. Uh-huh. Okay. Hey, what's going on? It's Chad Robuckle. Okay. So I'm driving over Laurel Canyon in the kind of slow-moving, not quite bumper-to-bumper traffic you experience on this road during the afternoon when this stupid whore rear-ends me out of nowhere. I get out of my car, she gets out of hers, all apologetic, and we stand there examining the damage to my bumper. It's not bad, and I decide I'm not going to give her a hard time about it, even though she was totally on her cell phone, not paying attention, as women are apt to do. Well, the damage really isn't bad. Maybe we don't have to get the insurance companies involved in this. Big mistake, bitch. Now I'm pissed. I tell her that, no, I'm actually going to have to see her insurance. She offers to pay me a couple $100 to avoid having her premiums go up. I'm looking at the damage, and it's really nothing that a $3 jar of touch-up paint couldn't fix. But she's really pushing my buttons now. If there's one thing Chad Robuckle values, above all, it's his honesty and his integrity. And I'm not about to compromise my good name so I can play nice and commit insurance fraud. Her kids are screaming in the back seat and people are honking, so I lean in really close and whisper, I'm going to act like I'm walking over to get my insurance card from my glove compartment. But I'm really going to get my gun and shoot you in the fucking head. So if you value your life and the lives of your children, I suggest you run for it. I can tell she can't quite believe this, but my iron-cold stare is, like, starting to convince her. So I walk back to my car and I say loudly, okay, let me just get my insurance out of the glove box, when she decides I'm not joking. I look over and she's got this expression of pure terror. She jumps in the car, puts it in drive, and pulls around me, tires squealing, and runs right into a car in oncoming traffic. Airbags go off and everything. Priceless. So I close the door and some bystanders run up to her car to see if everything's okay. And she gets out, blood running down her face from her broken nose, and she can't stop screaming. She pulls her kids out of the back seat and starts running up the hill. The onlookers give me a what-the-hell kind of look, and I give them a beats-the-shit-out-of-me one in response. We all stand around and wait for the cops. I explain to them and the police officers that I just wanted to do everything by the book and was walking over to my car to get my insurance card when this lady flipped out and tried to drive off. Several eyewitnesses backed up my side of the story, so even though the lady insisted I had threatened her, nobody had come forward and corroborated this. Not to mention the cops searched my car and the surrounding area and find no evidence of any gun, so I'm off the hook. The 5-0 apologized to me, take my name and number, send me on my way. And as I'm driving off, I look in the rear view and she's screaming and yelling as they rip her kid out of her arms and throw her in the back seat of the squad car. So I last about 3 seconds before I lose it and start laughing my ass off. Oh man, that was some funny shit. The irony of this whole situation is I left the accident in such a good mood that if it had happened again, I wouldn't have been such a dick in the first place. Anyway, a couple days pass, and I get this knock on the door. This Weasley-looking guy is standing there, holding his hat in his hands like people do in old-time movies. He looks nervous as shit. So I look over and make sure my Louisville Slugger is right by the door. It is.
Chad Roebuckle?
He asks. Who wants to know? I reply. He goes and explains that his name is Terry Bradshaw. When I say, like the football guy, he gives me this blank stare, and I know I'm dealing with a real winner. Anyway, he tells me he witnessed the accident, and he knows I really did threaten to shoot that woman. Well, at this point, I'm inching towards the bat and trying to remember how many corpse-sized garbage bags I've got saved up under the sink. I figure he's looking for money or whatever, but he actually has something else in mind.
Man, I couldn't believe that shit. It was great. You stayed so cool and totally fucked her shit up. That's some next-level shit, and I'm down with that, he says, never quite looking me in the eye.
Normally, I would kill someone just for making any sort of reference to Men in Black, but I'm also a sucker for flattery, so I released my grip on the bat and let him go on.
Anyway, I don't know who you're with, CIA, FBI, KGB, whatever, but if you need any help, just let me know.
Now, let me pause here and tell you that I am a big fan of Mr. Miyagi. Not Pat Morita, not the movie itself, just that character. I'm not into that kind of karate where you defend yourself as a last resort and you never use it to get money out of people, but still, there was just something about the way he bossed that greasy little wop around that tickled my fancy. So here I saw my chance to be my own Mr. Miyagi, and I jumped at it. Well, Terry, you're in luck. My last intern just quit, and you look like you're cut from good stock, so why don't you go down at a 7-Eleven over there and get me a 12-pack of beer, for starters. That seemed very mentor-like to me.
Well, I was thinking like I could be your sidekick or partner or something, you know? Go on special ops reconnaissance and shit like that.
I figured on this response, and I was ready for it. Terry, I began, closing the door behind me as I stepped outside in my underwear. How many years of military experience do you have? Is it 12? Because that's how much I have.
Oh, shit, Chad, I'm sorry.
Mr. Roebuckle, I cut him off.
Sorry, right, Mr. Roebuckle. Anyways, I didn't mean to question your authority or nothing. I was just wondering what kind of beer I should get you, and also, I don't have any cash.
What a stammering idiot. Terry, listen, when they would drop us Rangers behind enemy lines and we'd have to sneak into a village and cut every male resident over the age of 13 years' throats, rape all the women, and then burn that whole place down, do you think we had time to sit around and question the orders of our superior officers? Do you think I would ask Sarge for some money? No, if he needed something, I would take it.
No, of course not. I'm sorry, sir.
He was practically crying. And he called me sir. This was great. Apology accepted. Now go. Get! He ran as fast as his gimpy legs could take him. I guess he had a limp or something, probably from someone beating his ass when he was a kid. He looked like that type. Heineken, Terry! No cheap shit! I went back inside, pretty pleased with myself. I began to fantasize about all the future missions I could send Terry Bradshaw on. Things were working out pretty well for old Chad Roebuckle, but not for long. This always happens to me. I live my life the best I can. I try to be a good person, and how do I get rewarded? By a swift kick in the balls from JC or Buddha or Fate or whoever the hell is running things up there. My chance to be Mr. Miyagi went down the toilet when that stupid shithead literally ran right into two of Los Angeles' finest as they were entering the same store he was fleeing from. The cops dragged Terry back to my place in handcuffs. He'd clearly been crying. I tell them I've never seen that sorry piece of shit in my life, and he starts spouting off something about the accident and the CIA and a secret Black Ops Delta Ranger Force or some crap like that. I just deny everything, and they cart his ass off. So not only does he fail me, he rats me out like a little pussy, too. Why am I constantly made to suffer these indignities at the hands of the assholes of the world? If I did something to deserve it, I can't think of what it is for the life of me. What a prick. I hope he's sharing a cell with that uppity bitch from the other day.